Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 95 of the Skulls Cast. And we're going to start off this episode with a shout out to our Patreon patrons.
Is it a shout out? Or is it several shouts out?
It's more like a talk out, come to think, because we're not shouting.
I can really shout.
Don't shout. I have to balance everything afterward anyway, which I don't want to do.
You know how much I enjoy shouting.
And you know how little I like to do any audio editing at all, frankly.
We'll call it a draw.
Okay. What we will start calling it is thank you to David C.
Thank you to Squirrel Token.
Thank you to Irish Nonsense.
Thank you to Rosa.
Thank you to Karksy. Kark, is that, yeah, it's like Dark Sea, but with more Kark.
Yeah. Thank you to Boondhead.
Oh, can you read that from here?
It's in fact in the perfect position.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you to Rest Star.
Thank you to Robert Mole.
Thank you to Despisal.
And this episode of the Skullcast brought to you by Thank You Me.
Just be.
It's a good name. Yeah, I don't know anyone else named B.
Right. Whatever you put here, we're going to... Whatever you put here, we're going to say. And now that I hover over this, the link is like no.no. So
Forward slash.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, strong.
Visit B at no.no. Slash. That's rather good. I am distracted by how excellent that is. We have such excellent people.
We do own a lot of excellent people.
We own so many excellent
people. Thank you
people.
For being owned by us.
Thank you, Robert McCall.
Thank you, Space Queen Galactic Q.
Thank you, Thanks Internet.
Thank you, Pirate Mike.
Thanks to A Random Pubby.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks to the layout of these things, which sorts.
Thank you to KB.
In a crazy sense. Thank you, generic girl name, even though you are my hater.
Thank you very much, generic girl name, for being Kaz's
hater.
Yeah,
like specifically that.
And thank you to Scott Clements.
And so that's our.
That's the thank you portion.
Yep.
Now for the no thank you portion.
The absolutely no thanks at all portion.
First of all, it's actually. Very convenient that this is episode 95, because no thank you to the number 95.
What's wrong with the number 95?
Let me tell you what's wrong with the number 95. Is that, well, it's maybe I can't blame 95 for this. I should be blaming 0.95 for this.
All right. Go on.
See, on your 20-sided die... There are 20 sides on a 20-sided die.
I agree.
Which means any given side has a 0.05 chance of appearing.
Okay.
Which means that side also has a 0.95 chance of not appearing. So 0.95, or 95%, represents this intangible, inescapable concept of everything you missed, everything you don't have.
Right, but if
you
just,
own 5% of things, and you don't own 95% of things.
About like dice games, even then, there's usually a range of values that you need to get to like get what you want. Like you roll the 20-sided dice, and like, you know, you might not know it, but 17 or up is great, or maybe 10 and below is great, and that's a
See,
lot.
These
different.
Days, I've moved to other D20 based systems where you have to hit a target number exactly. And the target number can move up or down based on, you know, mm-hmm. certain character parameters and target attributes, challenge ratings, challenge indices.
I'm going to intentionally not invent any system quite like that. Is that what 13th Age is like?
No. 13th okay. Age is much like your typical Dungeons and or Dragons game. Has a number which you must meet or exceed.
Meet or exceed, okay.
But not a number
so
you must
match
precisely.
So I guess you've been playing like some more hardcore stuff.
Oh, yes.
It's like, no, you only win this roll if you land the die on the edge.
No, I don't think anyone took that class feature.
Okay.
You know, this is our first time with this system. We kept it to the basic options.
Yeah, you want to start out slow.
And match target number exactly. Mm-hmm. Any status effect inflicted on your character is also inflicted on the player.
If I could just stop you for a second right here, what system are we talking about? Because I don't... I mean, there's tons of stuff out there, and I've never heard of... I think the craziest and closest to this I've ever heard of is GURPS, but only because that was, like, everything.
Right.
Like, GURPS, anything was a rule.
GURPS models all systems.
Yeah.
Including the one we're in right now.
Right. So does that have, like, something that our listeners can...
Well, it's still in beta, so you won't be able to walk into your local game store and pick up a copy of it. But its name is... Oh, what was it called? Yeah, it had some really... snappy two-word, it was something like murder hole, I think, just murder hole was the name. It's a medieval fantasy, so it's about specifically it's the part of medieval fantasy where castles are involved. Intrinsically, any event or campaign in this game is about a castle, either defending a castle or attacking a castle.
Hmm. Wait, it's not called Dungeon Siege, is it? Because that's a thing.
No, there are no dungeons in this game. There are only castles.
Wait a minute. You're going to have castles with no dungeons and call your thing Murder Hole?
There are lots of murder holes.
That sounds like a mistake. Okay, well, anyway, tell me more about Murder Hole.
Okay, so, like I said, it's medieval fantasy. Elves aren't real, so you can't play as an elf, and neither dwarves are also not real, so you can't play as that. You can only play as a person.
Go on.
Let's see. Character creation takes about 2 to 3 hours.
Apologies to elvish Americans.
Yeah. Apologies to...
Go on.
So 2 to 3 hours for character creation.
It sounds short, actually.
At the end of this, there's a pretty good chance that your character dies, and you just have to wait for everyone else to go.
I think I made a system like that.
Yeah. If that happens, you actually... part of the game rules is that you have to leave the place in which everyone is playing and go somewhere else and then come back, and because then you're like a new person, so you can be a new character.
Can that be like the kitchen or bathroom?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be far.
That's cool. I would totally like take a little break after my character died.
Yeah,
it sounds pretty sweet, actually. Be like, nah, I gotta, that was too intense, gotta cool down from this. Yeah. And then you take a little walk around the apartment or whatever.
Right. And then you have this is a game that is big on crunch. It's big on crunch, and what I mean by that are two different things. One is that to determine character attributes and other things, there are a whole lot of tables with different numbers on them. You roll a lot of dice and you do a lot of math. And the other thing is that as part of the rules of character creation, you actually have to just find hard objects and attempt to chew them, and this in part determines some of your character's parameters.
I see.
So hence
the... Well, now I know how you got onto the system at all. You love chewing.
I do. I love chewing, and I enjoy a good chewing challenge.
Okay.
I've had to chew many unchewable things.
Right. Does it come with that included in the battle box or whatever? Or do you have to, like, find your own?
There are a few sample objects in there. You will invariably after, you know, a few games.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to improv.
Get your
something.
Own, and there are suggestions, but it comes with a pine cone and a length of balsa wood. You know, for newer players,
right?
I think there were a couple of toggle bolts in there, which were really handy because I needed to hang up some shelves.
Is this like a rule system for dogs? You have to like chew on this thing in order to determine your.
There was.
Would dogs be just way too good at this game?
Oh no, dogs are generally barred from participation in tournament events for this game. Or rather, there's separate tournaments for dogs and for non-dogs. Mm. All non-dog animals, including elves.
Okay.
So yeah, so a lot of crunch in this system, and then everyone flips a coin to see whether they are attacking the castle or defending the castle. And, you know, if your coin comes up one way, then that character is attacking the castle, comes up the other way, they're defending the castle. Then whichever side has more people on it is allowed to just kick the other players out and make them play somewhere else, because they're the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's this sort of competitive aspect. And if the two sides are evenly matched, they each elect a representative to arm wrestle to see who gets to stay there and play there, and who has to find somewhere else to play.
See, I thought that would be a perfect opportunity for the chewing. Like, you get a... Maybe I'll have to submit this to their... as an idea to their Twitter or whatever. And be like, well, you could just have this, like, tugging chew toy thing.
The arm wrestling involves chewing.
Okay. Then it's taken care of. Go on.
This is a new type of arm wrestling that does involve rope and chewing.
Okay.
More rope than chewing, but still some chewing.
You have to not cut the rope.
No, cutting the rope is grounds for disqualification.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Also, everyone will be upset at you and probably make you
pay
for the
pizza. Man,
I
would love to make that
video
game. Also,
you can't eat pizza while you're playing this because pizza wasn't around in medieval fantasy.
Wow. Not even medieval Italy? That has to have been...
Not like, in the castles.
Well, even just, like, a trencher with sauce and meat that's got... Like, it's like proto-pizza.
You can only have... you can only have meat pies or pasties because we use, the correct way to do any medieval fantasy is to do what England did and no other European country did.
Oh, okay. No, I gotcha. Yeah, that's the Anglo Center, I think it's called, of medieval times.
Right.
I would frankly love to have a role-playing system with a strong historical basis in, like, something that you just don't commonly hear about in your, like, bog-standard Lord of the Rings, elves and dwarves kind of thing. Yeah. But I think the closest we've come to that has tickled my fancy in the least was a video game, Kingdoms of Amalur. Frankly, that had a lot to it. Well, to its, like, fluffy cartoon world thing, and it was based on a lot of the folklore of the British Isles, but none of it itself was about, you know, like, I don't know, trying to replicate an Earth-like setting in the least. They had their own places and systems and all that, and I thought that was
But they also had, like, Kelpies weird. And stuff.
Yeah, I think it was...
Kelpies are...
I'm pretty sure they were a thing.
Around the British Isles?
Yeah.
My...
Kelpies and Selkies and...
Selkies, Kelpies, Gilders.
Frog peas.
Frog peas. Sprites.
Your Catchy, your Cushy, your...
Cat of Nine Tails.
Amananaguchi. Pretty sure that was one.
Yeah.
Catchy of Nine Tails. Catchy of 11 Tails. We got so many tails.
Catchy of 14 Tails doesn't have time for this.
Where does it end? Where does it end? Oh, it ends in Murder Hole.
It ends in Murder Hole.
It begins in Murder Hole. You have the team thing. You have, like, order. Like, you divide the teams across, like, rooms. So you need two rooms. To do
well,
this?
No, usually the other, whichever team has fewer people has to, you know, go in a bit further away.
All right.
Like, if you're playing at a game store, they would have to leave the game store.
All right. So they're just... All right, get out. You lost the flip.
You lost the flip. So then, the two teams each spend 4 weeks preparing... For the attack or defense of the castle.
4 weeks?
4 weeks.
I'm sorry, real time weeks?
Yes. You're expected to play for the entire... Or rather, any time, you know, you're not playing is time that your character is not helping in either the, you know, preparing the castle for defense or preparing to lay waste to the castle.
All right.
So this is, it's a very immersive game in that
sense. I guess so. The whole, the eating restrictions, the chewing on pine cones.
Pine cones are a good, they include that and also highly recommend that as a good sort of normal difficulty chewable.
Okay. Well, I guess you can.
Also, there
you
get
pine cones from all kinds of places.
They're available in many climes.
I'm pretty sure I saw artisanal pine cones on Etsy. I'll flavor. If you Bing Etsy Pinecone right now, then you'll get like any flavor you want of artisanal pinecone, with and without sap, even. You can't see it, but Medipod is licking his lips.
I'm staring into the middle distance, thinking about those delicious pine cones.
So go ahead and we'll wait for you. We are not going to wait for you to come back from your Bing search.
Okay, so right, 4 weeks to prepare for the game. And during this time, so, you know, the two sides have somewhat different activities, you know, because, you know, defending or attacking the castle. And so there are actually two separate rule books that come with the box set of the game. There's sort of the startup rule book that, you know, all players need, but then once you split into teams, you only use your side's rule book.
Okay, so that's more like a Vampire the Masquerade or Lupin the Third Werewolf-arama kind of thing. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. I remember playing a space coyote in one of those. Huh. And that was pretty great. Someone tried to bind me up with duct tape, but I used a magic spell and it turned the duct tape all inside out so I could like stick to things. And then I gave him a big sticky hug.
Space coyote.
I mean, also we were playing like Lupin the Third Werewolf-arama.
Well, that's why he's called.
Hmm?
So, the two teams split off. And so, okay, so, like I said, they have different things to do. And I actually can't go into detail about that. Not because of some NDA or something, but because someone who's on the other team from me might be listening now.
Okay, no.
One of their spies might be about. Right. And so they'd know.
I could be the spy.
You could be. I didn't see you at character creation, but often two game groups will join together for this, and they'll have sort of the attackers from one group go against the defenders from the other group, and vice versa, just so that it's a little more mysterious. You don't know the identity of the other players until you actually meet atop the ramparts.
I mean, well, that's kind of deep if you think about it. I mean, how do we really know who we're playing with in any given game session? Like, the next time you go to play Applebee O'Bennigan McDungeons and Dragons with one of your groups of friends or online friends or whatever, ask yourself if you really know who you're playing with. The answer will probably be no.
I know one of them.
Okay.
Not the best, though.
Yeah. Is it you?
If we're being honest. No.
Oh. Gee. Well, you better get on that.
I've met this guy. I don't want to spend too much time with him.
Yeah, that's good luck with that. Anyway, so we had the teams and the mystery and the spy part.
Right. Okay. So after the 4 weeks, they meet back up at whatever the sort of starting location was for the game, and that's the location of the castle for that game. And so the defenders are allowed to take position in and around the castle. You know, if this is at a game store, you just sort of kick everyone else out, declare that you're playing this game here, and they can't stop you because, some kind of sovereign citizen thing in the rules? I don't know the details. Anyway,
Uniform Commercial Code of the United States, Section 108.1.
You say it, and they just have to let you use their game store to play your game.
Oh, man. Continue. I'm gonna look that up really quick to see if I got the number right.
Okay. So then, you know, the defenders get into position in and around the castle. And, you know, this is sort of where the core mechanic for which the game is named comes into play, which is that at this point, this is when they set up their murder holes. Which is to say they just use any holes that are already in the building, or they can create new holes in the building. They can also create false holes that are actual holes in real life, but are not murder holes under the rules of the game, in order to confuse or distract the castle attackers. And so then the defenders have to make use of these murder holes and the resources available to them to apply to the murder holes in order to prevent the attackers from gaining control of the murder holes and using the murder holes to seize the throne in the throne room of the castle. The castle has a throne room, is guaranteed to have a throne room, I should say, but most other castle features can actually vary from playthrough to playthrough. You're guaranteed a throne room and a number of murder holes equal to at least, you know, greater than or equal to twice the number of total players. But other than that, there can be a lot of variation. So it's a lot about, you know, the defenders, they have this time limit in order to try and figure out what their best strategy is to get resources through their murder holes and, you know, proper murder hole maintenance, getting their murder holes up to code in those 4 weeks. While the attackers try to use sort of, you know, try and, you know, they sort of need to scout and try and test for information so that they can attempt to determine, you know, what is or is not in the castle, and by extension try and figure out sort of what their murder hole strategy is going to be so that they can then counteract it and seize control of the murder holes. So this has a lot of die rolling. This has some amount of just a light, I guess, home improvement type stuff going on, because you have to create and maintain these holes and some, and patch them up and, you know, subvert them. Some plumbing. It's good to have, you know, a licensed electrician on your team. If one team has that and the other doesn't, they're going to be a pretty big advantage. You can also just roll for that if you don't have the, you know, have an actual licensed, bonded, insured electrician playing along with you. But then from there, it proceeds on, there's no initiative system, but there's still turns. You just call out when you want to take your turn, and then you say what you do and you do it. And then, you know, you've got some dice rolling, you've got some tables to check on. There's some good, you know, sort of little mnemonics in there to help you remember what to do. But it can still be, you know, sort of a gradual pace. The first time I played, I think we were awake for the castle siege for around 30 hours. And so it was pretty intense. You know, this is a very gritty and dark and foreboding game. You know, as the name Murder Hole, you know, might lead you to believe, this is a very realistic medieval fantasy. Very, very based in history, very realistic fantasy. And, you know, usually it's good to, you know, every 30 hours or so, just sort of call a break of the game so that, you know, and you know, people can eat and drink and sleep. Anyone who needs to go to the hospital can go to the hospital. Anyone who has performed an illegal action, you know, this is the time where they get arrested. And so you let the local law enforcement take care of that. But then you sort of keep going in these rounds, either until all the attackers are defeated, which is, say, either in the hospital or jail, or the throne room has been seized by the attackers, or optionally, there are rules that after a number of rounds equal to the number of players, is that you're allowed to begin the negotiation phase of the game, where you have sort of 2 hours where the two sides may try to come to some agreement regarding control of the murder holes. No agreements made during this time are binding or have any effect on the game, and at the conclusion of the negotiation phase, the next attack round commences.
And speaking of binding agreements, I did look it up. It's Section 1-207, which was changed to 1-308.
So they added 101 to it, which is, you know, also the number of Pokemon there are.
What? I think there's more than that by now.
It's the number of Pokemon recognized by the state.
Oh, jeez. Now, is that the Japanese state? Or, because I know that they used Pokemon to teach kids kanji, because there's, like, a similar number of them. But if they only use, like, 101, like, the 101 most distinctive core Pokemon kind of thing. Because, I mean, like, Machop, Machoke, Machamp, for instance, would
not, really like, just need Machamp.
Yeah,
Machamp is very strong.
Seriously,
four arms.
He's got extra never arms.
But even though Machamp has four arms, Machamp never skips leg day.
I mean, why would you skip leg day?
That's what Machamp would say. Mm. Why would you skip leg day?
And he's got even like more shoulders to shrug with.
They're like,
that's what he's. Okay, so you were telling us about the negotiation phase.
Right, so the negotiation phase, you have a two-hour time limit to try and negotiate sort of a peace agreement, but by the rules of the game, you can't, and after the negotiation phase, you just resume with another 30-hour combat phase.
Okay, that makes sense. I was about to ask if that was inspired by that Richard Garfield game that we talked about before. The one with, like, way too many aliens. And there's this, like, gigantic stack of
Cosmic
alien
Encounter.
Cards. Cosmic Encounter, that one. That one has that negotiation thing where if there's, like, a tie, then... No, right. If both parties negotiate, then you have 30 seconds to cut a deal, and something in one of these categories has to change hands. Like, cards, ships, colonies.
Yeah.
But
yeah, here it can have no outcome on the game other than hurting the player's feelings or making them regret their actions.
That sounds like a lot of what happens in this game, frankly. 30 hours?
I mean, you know, these were big themes during fantasy medieval England. Regret, suffering, long, drawn-out conflict of physical struggles for... You know, not for your own benefit,
it makes
but for someone's
watch,
benefit, hopefully.
That kind of makes me want to watch Jabberwocky again. If you've ever seen... What is it called? Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yes.
Talking about a movie for a second. If you've ever seen that, Jabberwocky is like that movie, but twisted.
Tell me more.
There's a lot of peeing in public. There's a gigantic... puppet monster. There's a knight whose symbol is a dog, and so he has like a little dog head on top of his crown. All of the themes that you're talking about are very accurately, shall we say, represented. I mean apart from the like Muppet monster, this movie is extremely true to life. So there's
How long have Muppets been around?
Oh, only about I should say only about 50 or so years. Because I was going
closer
to say 30
to 300.
Years. No. I was going to say 30 years, 20 years ago. But no, that's got to be like 50 years by now. Like, how old is Kermit? I'm going to put Kermit at 55. Because he's like the Ur-Muppet.
Kermit's getting up there.
Yeah.
It looks pretty okay for 55.
Yeah, it's the, what do you call it? I forget the exact biological term for this, but frogs can like actually freeze because the sugars in their body prevent ice from forming crystals. And so he's actually able to cryogenize. He just sleeps in a freezer, basically.
Wow. Extending his lifespan by... I should try that.
Don't. You don't have the sugar. The thing that...
I can get sugar, Cass.
No, you don't have the thing that I can't remember what it's called that would allow you to do that.
It's
you
sugar.
You just
said it was sugar and I
if
have
you
that.
Do that, then your flesh will necrotize because you can't prevent the ice from forming crystals and it'll turn black and you'll get all frostbitten. That's what frostbite is.
It's crystals?
It's actually... Yeah, that's ice crystals forming... thousands upon thousands upon thousands of tiny, tiny cuts in your body.
So you're saying that I need to master these crystals?
I guess if you master ice crystals, then you would be able to be frozen without having your body turn like all black and necrotic.
Let's set that as a long-term goal. Master crystals.
If you become the crystal master... You'll be able to encase your body in ice and never leave.
Why would I want to leave?
I mean, at that point, you're encased in what you've mastered. Why?
I'm surrounded by
done.
That which I understand
finished.
Best.
I just made a clicking noise there that I didn't really mean to, but it came out anyway. So click. Finish.
Yeah, so turn the tape to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Doot. All right. When does a game session of this end? It sounds like we've been...
Oh, okay. I did mention the end conditions
for
the
game. Oh, all right.
Which is
Sorry.
That either the throne room is seized or all of the attackers are either in the hospital or jail.
I see. Well, okay. I guess that's...
No
that's
one wins.
Well...
But the game ends, and you're allowed to stop playing.
Well, hey, that fits my definition of a game. It's a system experienced as a set of rules with a loss condition.
This game has a lot of loss conditions.
Man, I wish I could say that I'd played anything quite that intense or new, but I basically haven't. I've been playing a lot of old stuff. You know, the games that... I'm really familiar with, that I'm really comfortable with already. Nothing terribly adventurous. And in fact, the newest stuff that I've played has even been old in itself with ROM hacks.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've been
ROM hacks.
I've been digging those. There were a couple of weeks ago at this point, I was just browsed romhacking.net, I think that's what it's called, romhacking.net, and went to Super Metroid, and I'm like, okay, it can be your six most promising sounding hacks, and then gave those a spin. They have varying degrees of promise, and varying degrees of making good on those varying degrees
the
of
delivery.
Promises. So, yeah. So you can form this old chart of, like, a promise this much, delivered this much, and have a It's kind of like risk assessment, if you've ever done risk assessment. Like,
so what we need is
severity,
some kind of
versus likelihood.
Professional ROM hack actuary.
Yes. So that forms the ROM risk. You're like, give me a 25. And you're like, I want, like, high risk, high likelihood of terribleness, and then that's what you'll get.
The ROM hacktuary.
That's going in my Twitter bio right now. Oh, goodness. Hmm?
Right now?
Well, I'm not going to type.
Okay, in a minute.
When we're done.
Put it in your pocket for later.
Yeah, I will. I have a lot of Twitters, so maybe I'll put it in one of those.
What have I? I played... I guess the newest game I play is Momodora.
Four?
Yeah, Reverie Under the Moonlight.
I see. When did that actually come out?
Oh, like a couple weeks ago.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, it's pretty new.
Oh, I didn't realize. I mean, it just sort of looks like computer video game, so it could have come out any time the last, like, 15 years.
Yeah, that's pretty new. Other than that, let's see, I play in my castle, Circle of the Moon, play Picross, play Yoko.
That's what we should really do, is do a ROM hack of Mario Picross to just have different puzzles in it. Just like, release different puzzle packs.
Mario Picross, next level. I mean, there are also enough other Picross games that this is highly unnecessary.
I guess. But I really like that one. And it has the sweet, like, two-player mode where you start moving around with the second controller.
I haven't played any other Picross game with a two-player mode.
Right.
I think that's kind of a big feature here.
That kind of ruled, like, when we did that one night, where we're just, like, doing our own thing, and then... At some point, the puzzle just ends, and it's
just like you get it.
And you're like, dun, 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 dun,
there's so many of these Picross games are on portable systems, right? On your DS.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot on phone systems.
Right. It'd be hard to have two hands on that.
Right.
Although, no, that's something else that would be kind of neat. To have a phone or tablet game where, like, each player has, like, a thumb on one end or something, and that's how you control the game.
Yeah, I've seen tablet games that are multiplayer.
Oh, heck, you could do, like, just air hockey.
Yep.
Yeah. That's got to exist already. I mean,
a lot of tablets do support multi-touch, and so you can have those two distinct inputs going.
Yeah, that would be kind
of
rad.
That probably does already exist as that sort of a quick...
It's just gotta, you right? know, like,
we have this technology, what's our first game to get used to?
It sounds like game one of multi-touch technology is, here, let's play air hockey. This, like, janky physics. And, it, you know, since it's a video game, you can have, like, perfect... non-friction kind of stuff going
perfectly
on.
Perfectly frictionless surface.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're going to eat a perfectly frictionless pine cone.
Eat a perfectly frictionless pine cone. No, I'm not going to eat it, Kaz.
Mm.
I'm going to chew it.
You're going to... That is an important distinction, I guess. Phew.
But yeah. You know, perfectly frictionless... Picross, two-player Picross, because the next closest we could get is try and, you know, make some little $5 downloadable console game on your X-Bone or your Piss-Fuller or your Wii-Woo that, you know, has two-player Picross. But again, it seems like, you know, maybe it just seems like everyone wants it on the portable because they've been made for the portable. If we made a good two-player Picross, or even more than two-player
Picross... It's a pretty flexible system. I honestly think that the deepest challenge there would be, like, puzzle generation. Like, not just for the numbers and grids and everything, but the fact that, like, almost all of these have some kind of, like, colored-in picture that they
end up
in, like, animates. And, like, yeah. If it's a duck, it quacks at you. If it's a heart, it beats. If it's a zombie, then it goes to law school and becomes a lawyer zombie. That kind of thing. But,
You know what I just thought of? I just had a brilliant brainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So in Mario Super Picross, in two-player Picross, you're both essentially working on the same clues in the same puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
What if...
Oh, no, I think I just realized your brainstorm. Continue.
What if you have the blue pen and I have the green pen, and some of the clues are blue and some of them are green?
You could have Blue's Clues.
We could have Blue's Clues and Green's Clues.
Green's Clues.
Which not as successful as a TV show.
But had way fewer child molesters.
Zing.
Green's Clues.
Buffo. But yeah, so that...
It's like Alan Greenspan and a cartoon dog. Solve mysteries.
With Picross. Oh, I like this. This is getting better and better.
Mm.
But that way, you know, you sort of have this clearer division of responsibilities. And it limits the ability for one player to carry the team.
Yeah, it's true. If you're, I love the idea of, you know, two people at a puzzle having, like, different clues, but they're on the same puzzle. That's incredible. We have to somehow do that. You could kind of do that with the Wii Woo, because you have the little display.
Yeah, you have,
and then you just have to have one player, like, promise not to look up. But that's kind of.
I mean,
thing.
Sure, but that's also how Keep Talking works.
Yeah,
and so like. Yes, you can make the game less fun for yourself if you choose to. Or maybe they'll have more fun that way.
Right,
and if they have more fun that way, who are we to stop them?
Oh, man. Oh, no. I know the solution.
What's the solution?
Oh, my gosh. We bring back technology from the 1990s.
Give me your technology from the 1990s.
If you've ever played a Jeopardy board game or, like... I think Outburst had this too. You know how they had those cards with with just like colorful stuff on them?
Oh, yeah, and you had to put
slide them in
plastic.
With a red plastic. So we released this game with two sets of glasses, like the red glasses and the blue glasses. And so, like, if you're wearing the red glasses, you can only see the red clues, and everything else gets filtered out. Oh my god, I'm a genius.
This is brilliant.
And then
absolutely,
if you really want, to play like the solo player mode, you can put on
you put on the 3D glasses.
The 3D glasses.
Close one eye or the other.
From the 1990s.
So you're doing this in front of your TV all day.
Right, right.
You can't see it, gentle listener, but I'm doing... Ow!
Yeah.
It actually
and then
hurts a bit.
You, like, absolutely have to take a break every 15 minutes because your brain cannot handle that it... Oh, man. Please, no one go and make this idea yet. We have to do it.
We have to
it's
do it.
It's too brilliant.
We have to make this harmful two-player pig fox game.
And then... people wearing crazy-looking glasses... So that they can stare at the screen that to everyone else looks like just nothing.
Absolute garbage.
It just looks like it's, garbage.
It's lots of fun. So it's also streaming it is really exciting because you have to describe what you're seeing to the people watching the stream.
No. It all clears away when you solve the puzzle, actually. I think that's important. But up until that point, it just looks like
streaming
static.
Tech into the game so that the viewers at home see a normal looking screen.
Mmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, 4piss had already, like, streamed from console. Crossbone does it, I think.
Yeah,
so, someone tell me whether or not that's true, if Crossbone does it. Anyway. That's a super good idea, though. I'm suddenly so into it. I even had another idea to talk to you about, but probably not in this, but having to do with with material on public information, which I'm not going to share. No, chewing later. Once you get back to your, like, 4-week, 30-hour work week board game of torturing...
Murder holes.
Murder
there's
holes.
No torture in murder holes. Okay. Not in the rules, at least.
Like, yeah, if you say so. I think that about wraps it up. We've had a jolly good time.
Right.
Jolly cooperation.
With all these great video games that mm-hmm. do or will exist.
Oh, I want to make the glasses more than anything.
Right. If you make the glasses, I'll do the rest.
Okay.
And by do, I mean think about.
All right. That sounds fair. Any other closing remarks?
4-player Picross with a traitor.
I think any Picross with a traitor would... Like, how do they win? Like, timeout?
Timeout.
Okay. I'm okay with it with timeout, because there's got to be some, like, end condition to that. Because the ordinary end condition of Picross is, like, you just fail. You haven't completed it yet, you know,
right.
That kind of thing. But, like, with some kind of an inevitability built in, then, you know, yeah, the traitor is, like, winding down the clock. So if they figure out who the traitor is, do they just, like, slap the controller out of their hands or something? Like,
yeah, there could be a mechanism in the game. Oh, yeah, you could just slap.
Yes! No! Mechanism in the game, periodic votes. So you have, like, if it's a 5-minute puzzle, you have, like, a 2-minute, 30-second vote, and if the 3 gets the 1 correctly, then they're gone.
Totally eliminated.
And then their controller
if,
input doesn't
if
work.
Any person gets, you know, N minus, it gets a unanimous
right.
vote, they're eliminated,
yeah.
regardless of whether or not
yeah.
they're a traitor.
Oh, man. That's like, that sounds like a game from The Genius, actually. Man, we have such good ideas. Ah, if only
we should have a TV show like The Genius. We would just make up awful games for people to play.
Then make B-list television celebrities battle to the death for a pittance.
Do you know any B-list TV celebrities?
No. I don't even know...
I mean, they can't be too busy.
I don't even know any, like, B-list internet celebrities, frankly.
I have an in with Spielberg. I think he can get us... Who we
like
need.
What, the Spielberg of Let's Play?
No,
like
actual Steven Spielberg.
Oh, hey, well,
yeah.
Well, cool.
So
no, that I mean,
he'll pull some strings.
Crap,
for us.
Then he'd make it too good.
No, he would. He no, he wouldn't deign to be on the show. Are you kidding me? This is filth. This is unadulterated filth.
Man.
You can't show this. You can only show this on TV during the hour that doesn't exist.
Right. Whereas I am not important enough to deign not to do anything. Right. I haven't earned the deign. You have to.
Yeah, they don't let us have dogs here.
Mm. Too large, too great, too much room in their skulls.